no faith, he received no grace. If there was enough faith there for the person to be in the state of grace, then some grace is received from the Holy Eucharist. But now back to the real peasants. Can we, must we, in good Catholic English, say that we receive grace from Christ's real peasants? Sure we do. But notice, Jesus will give us the grace, but it's a conditional grace, provided that, and I will add, in the measure that we are disposed to receive him. 10 people go to communion, only God knows, but the 10 receive 10 different measures or degrees of grace. The reception is down deep inside of the human spirit, or the condition of that spirit, where the mind believes and the will loves. The condition of that spirit is both the condition and the measure of receiving grace here from Christ's real presence. What time is it?
1:45.
1:45.
Please?
1:45. 1:45. 1:45. Oh. And 1:45. When is the first class supposed to end?
2:10.
Somebody must have a chart here somewhere.
2:10.
Okay. Well then, let's do this. Let's distribute. And I'll continue talking. We'll now distribute the chart on the Sacrament of Penance. It comes in 2 pages, so the same thing, if you wouldn't mind going around. Would you please? Thank you. And please do not use the center. I'd like to have one copy left for myself of the chart. Our classes are first on the sacraments and then on various aspects of prayer. We are now going to reflect on and thank you and try to better understand. That's the whole purpose of these classes. To better understand what we believe. We will not, of course, finish today. We'll continue then in our next class. First of all, the names. The standard theological name is the Sacrament of Penance. The title that I think I told you the Holy Father prefers, our present Pope, is Sacrament of Confession. It is also called the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And finally, and unexpectedly, it is called the Sacrament of Peace. Why then did Christ institute the Sacrament of Penance? The number you have, Canon 1, 2, 3, and so on, are the definitions of the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Trent on the Sacrament of Penance. Every word in those statements is part of the church's infallible teaching. You might want to use this for future reference. In other words, they're called canons because they are defined doctrines. And they're stated, as you will notice, negatively. If anyone denies that, and the doctrine is stated, then let him be anathema. In other words, let him then be separated from the church. Why did Jesus institute this sacrament? To restore the state of grace to those who have sinned mortally after baptism. The key word is grace. We presume that when we're baptized, we receive supernatural life into our souls, otherwise known as sanctifying grace. But we believe the grace received at baptism can be lost, just as a human living body can die. In other words, the body can both live and die a natural death. Live a natural life and die a natural death, a body. What is the principle of life, PLA? What gives life to the body, the soul? That's what we mean when we say that a body is animated. It has what in it? An anima, a soul. Well, just as the body can be alive, and when the soul leaves, it becomes a corpse. So the soul at baptism is reborn, born now, not like the body, naturally, but is born, hence the reborn, is born supernaturally. But just as the natural life of the body can both be there, a person can be living, body can be alive, so the soul can be alive and the soul can die. And when the soul dies, it then loses its supernatural life. And how does a soul lose its supernatural life? Through what we call grave or mortal sin. That's what mortal means, fatal sin. The soul, therefore, is alive supernaturally as long as sanctifying grace is in the soul. And our one and only ambition in life should be that when our body dies naturally, our souls will be alive supernaturally. Everything else is absolutely, utterly meaningless. The only reason we're on earth is that when our bodies die, our souls will be alive with the life of God through sanctifying grace. What then is the sacrament of penance? It is then that sacrament which faith tells us restores the supernatural life that had been lost after baptism by mortal sin. Thus the dogma. If anyone says that penance is not instituted by Christ the Lord for reconciling the faithful to God, as often as they fall into sin after baptism, let him be anathema. Now, the sacrament of penance restores all kinds of lost grace, and not only sanctifying grace, but his most important function for our purpose is that it might restore sanctifying grace to a person who is supernaturally a corpse. Secondly, the so-called reformers, unless I'm dead tired or totally distracted, I never either write or say Protestant Reformation. There was no Protestant Reformation. Protestant Revolution, Protestant Rebellion, sure. But, and there wouldn't be a Society of Jesus unless there had been, thank God, a Catholic Reformation. That's what we need today, in case nobody told you. We need a Catholic Reformation. And my friends, and among even leaders in the church, I hope you'll believe me. Now, among the things which the so-called reformers claimed was that, really, confession is no different from baptism. So what it can do, defined. If anyone says that baptism is itself the sacrament of penance, as though these two sacraments were not distinct, and the Latin is anathema sit. Sit means let him be anathema. Well, out with him. I think I should say this, being so close to the charismatic headquarters in the United States, among the not few errors, among some outstanding and prolific charismatic writers, is exactly this. Sacrament, I have their books. Baptism is the only real sacrament. All the other quotes, sacraments, are functions of baptism, including the priesthood. In any case, penance is a distinct sacrament. It is not just baptism. We go on. There are not too many passages that the church has infallibly defined. Passages in Scripture. This is one. If anyone says that those words of the Lord Savior, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained, are not to be understood of the power of forgiving and retaining sins, as the Catholic Church has always understood them from the beginning, contrary to the institution of this sacrament of penance, let him be anathema. There is no speculation among Catholics of what Jesus meant on Easter Sunday night when he told the apostles, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. He meant the church has defined. He was thereby instituted the sacrament of penance. Required acts of the penitent. There is so much to say on this sacrament, so tragically neglected in once flourishing Christian nations like our own, that I thought for our achievement of penance, I would concentrate on the infallible teaching of the church, state it, give you copies of it, and then briefly explain what is required of the one who receives the sacrament. If anyone denies that for the full and perfect remission of sins, three acts are required on the part of the penitent, namely contrition, confession, and satisfaction, let him be anathema. Oh, how much commentary this deserves. And among the three acts of the penitent, contrition, confession, and satisfaction, I would say anyone who calls himself a Christian would not deny that to obtain God's forgiveness, we must be sorry for our sins. In other words, repentance on our part is necessary for reconciliation on God's part. We must repent for God to reconcile us to His friendship. And the third, satisfaction. Again, anyone who calls himself a Christian would now doubt that to obtain mercy from God, having sinned, he must do something. We call it penance. Call it satisfaction. Make up. I've been overindulging in food. On the first of the 3 days before Lent, I'm going to, live on less food. One of the longest lifespans in the history of what we call hagiography for saints was Saint Ignatius. And early centuries, all the biographers claim that he lived to the ripe old age, as my memory tells me, of 124 years, lived a very penitential life. Let nobody tell you that eating a lot of food, prolongs your life. It's just the opposite. So satisfaction makes sense. If I've sinned, I better do something to make up. But the hard one is number two, confession. I'm never quite sure. The longer I speak, I'll repeat certain, especially stories. I have enough of them. I don't need to repeat. Did I tell you about the censor of a large archdiocese that refused to give me an imprimatur when I talked about the sacrament of penance? Oh, then I can tell the story. Turned in my manuscript for the book, and the other book was one section on penance, the sacrament. And I said, it is divine law that we must confess our sins. And not just generically. Father, I'm a sinner. He could tell you. Tell me something new. Aren't we all? And by divine law, we are to identify. And by divine law, the mortal sins we must confess. What we've sinned, how we've sinned, in the matter, say, of chastity, with whom we've sinned, whether the person was married or not, whether I am married or not, and now, whether the person was of the same gender or not. That's an obligation. Just two short paragraphs in a fairly big manuscript. I got a letter back from the diocesan censor. He said, sorry, you'll get your imprimatur if you adopt those two paragraphs. It's just not true that we must confess our sins as a divine law. But then I said, look, you're wrong. I've been writing books, and some of my, especially the Catechism, have censored by the Holy See. If they give me an imprimatur, why can't you? They roll back a short, curt note. I repeat, remove those paragraphs and you get your imprimatur. So if you'd all wait, either find another diocese or publish the book later on. A year later, I reminded him, have you changed your mind? He said, no. However, you can have your imprimatur. I'll give you the imprimatur, but you're still wrong. Let's make sure we know. Am I clear? This single few-minute commentary on this definition is worth coming to Ann Arbor. And not just on one Sunday, but for 3 years. Confession of sins to a priest and telling what we've done wrong with their mortal sins, the nature of the sin and the number is a divine law from which no bishop, no conference of bishops can exempt. And that is why, as I'll tell people, including priests, I'm especially happy there's a bishop or two in the audience. That is why general absolution not only may not, but cannot be given unless there's a real emergency. And it better be an emergency. I've given general absolution several times on planes that were, I won, coming out of Kalamazoo from Chicago. I was teaching at Western Michigan. Had some lecture to give in Chicago, was flying back to Kalamazoo. I'll never forget. No many seats on the plane, not many. And heavy wind. Did I say coming out of Kalamazoo? No. Coming from Kalamazoo back to Chicago, the windy city. 55 mile wind. And we were at right angles. I could see, I saw the runway, then all of a sudden disappeared. The whole plane tilted at right angle. We were strapped in. I was conscious enough to give a loud, real loud, ego vos absolvo in Latin. Ego vos absolvo, a peccatis vestris, in nomine patris, et filii, et spiritus sancti. And what a mess that plane was. What a mess. But, well, I live to tell the tale. So, a general absolution on rare emergency occasions. But the church decrees a general absolution is not valid unless there is a real emergency. Secondly, merely getting the general absolution from the priest for the matter of bishop is useless unless the persons who receive absolution intend, and God knows their intention, they must intend before being thus, quotes, absolved. They must intend to confess all their mortal sins at the earliest opportunity. If they do not have that intention, the so-called general absolution is useless. Good to hear and sobering. And the Latin text says not only is a person who has received such a general absolution, but the person must also go to confession, and the Latin is mox, soon. even very soon after having received this general absolution. I repeat, confession of sins. Oh, how priests need to know this. Teaching priests, counseling priests, giving retreats to priests. Help your priests. And it can be embarrassing, can be humiliating. Corner priests, stop priests, any place, on planes, in the airport, to get the confession. I'm not really sure who benefits more, you the penitent or the priest giving you absolution. You know what I'm saying? Remember coming in from Rome about a year ago and landing in Metro on the way from JFK. Party was picking me up, and the priest was going to drive me back to the university. So there he was with the Roman collar, and he was going to be a driver. So as we came down, the moving stairway, I said to the priest, introduce myself, can I get absolution? He said, what? I said, can I get absolution? You know, I want to go to confession. I want you to, forgive me my sins. Give me absolution. Oh. So, the place I've gone to confession in. In an occasion, I've had to provide the priest with a formula of absolution. Which, by the way, St. Vincent de Paul had to do when his Vincentian fathers, the Society of the Mission, as they call themselves, Vincentians, giving parish missions. It was during the heyday of Jansenism. The Bishop Jansenius was a Protestant in disguise. The priest of the mission would distribute little slips of paper with a formula of absolution to give the priests when they went to confession. The priests, many did not know the formula of absolution. There's a 16th century being lived all over again, except the revolution is more rapid and more devastating. And I think, did somebody say 210?
210.
Gee, is it 210?
211, yes.
Am I on time?
Yes.
Okay, 210. And then we resume at 225, 15 minutes from now. Just one up. Yeah. The Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.